Wrong California, yeah?
I didn't.
California? What? What was that? I don't know.
Was that your California voice?
Yeah.
Thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, anytime.
Yes, we're on California.
Happy to help. Doing?
You will probably not be surprised by the fact that California seems to have a lot of urban legend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, that totally makes sense.
But one that popped up a lot was Turnbull Canyon, which is interesting because the last episode that I did was Alaska, and it was also a location that has a lot of urban legend, mm-hmm. like, tied into the same thing. And so this is the same type of deal where it's a place in California that just has a lot of stories tied
oh, nice.
To it.
Can I just ask, is this when you hear Californians, because I've only been to California a few times and it's a big state, so that I don't know much about it,
mm-hmm.
but people, especially people in like LA, they'll talk about, oh, we're going to the valley. Oh, we're going to the canyon. Like mm-hmm. I've heard that in conversation. Is this the canyon?
I don't know.
Or is it a completely different place?
I don't know if it's the canyon, but it's not very far from LA, so that
okay.
would make sense.
Okay.
I mean, it was referred to in the research a lot as the canyon, but not like as a title, just like
they're talking about
right.
the canyon here. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
We're referencing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I
well,
don't know.
Well, that'll be interesting. If anyone listening knows a little bit more about California geography than we do, I'd love to know if that's the same place or if it's just two totally different places.
Also, to be honest, there was so much about this place that I tried to get a grasp on kind of like all of the story that was like relevant, but there were so many different entries and stories. I looked at so many different articles and like there was a lot. So if there's something about this that I missed, please share with us. Or if you have an experience with Turnbull Canyon, I would love to hear some like firsthand accounts because some of those like blogs or Reddit posts were like some of the most interesting things, like people talking about what they actually experienced. But I don't have enough
yeah.
time unless I'm going to be here all day to include all of that.
I love
so.
Firsthand experiences. That'd be awesome to hear.
Mm. Yeah.
Tweet us, please.
Yes.
Email us.
Because I've never been to California, so I have no idea. I'm kind of like out of my range here.
Well, after we finish our girls' trip to the Dead Children's Playground, mm-hmm. maybe we can swing by California.
I still have not agreed to this.
No, I...
No, I did, as long as you medicate me first.
Yeah,
no.
You did. I have that recorded.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't agree to this. So, a lot of the most popular urban legends in California are stories that come from Turnbull Canyon. It's not too far from L.A., like I said, and it sits actually between the towns of Whittier and City of Industry, which is actually the name of a city that I'd never heard of until now.
Oh.
It's a popular attraction for, like, people who like to do, like, outdoor adventure type mm-hmm. stuff. A lot. Apparently, they have a lot of awesome hiking trails and, like, some really nice views. And, in fact, so this came up as, like, a popular urban legend when you search for, like, California urban legend. But when I searched just for Turnbull Canyon, like, the first page of Google was really just, like, sites, like, talking about the hiking trails and, like, showing links. So it's more like if you're looking to vacation there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, like, if you don't know that all of the story comes from there and you just are like, oh, I'd like a nice place to hike, and you look this place up and then you end up there, that's a little tragic, so.
Or you're someone like Amanda who likes to
right.
go places and sleep on the ground.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. I'm like, I'm surprised Amanda hasn't been to this place.
No.
So you probably won't want to after this
right.
Day.
I'm excited.
For informing
Bring it.
Me.
So according to locals, Turnbull Canyon is home to ghosts, dark magic, human sacrifice, horrific events, and disturbing murders. All of that and then some.
But surprisingly upbeat.
Yeah, but it's got lovely views and good hiking
trails
if you'd like to go.
Nice place to take your dog for a walk.
So there's...
No thanks.
Just pre-warning, there's a lot of sad stories that are going to happen here. The earliest mm-hmm. stories that I found of the canyon were those of the Gabrielenos Native Americans, who referred to the land of the canyon as Hutukunga. Is how it's spelled,
wow.
Hutukunga, and I couldn't find a pronunciation. I try to do well with pronunciation
no,
if I don't know how.
There. That sounds legit.
But
I
that's...
probably just alienated our six listeners. They're like, stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I don't mind being corrected if it's wrong. I couldn't find a good pronunciation. But
oh, and take advantage of that, because Tammy does not normally like to be corrected, so go ahead and jump on board.
Fair. Anyway, it means, translates to the dark place or the place of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So this is... There's a lot of horrific things that have happened, or at least are rumored to have happened in this canyon, but this is the earliest recorded story I could find, so it kind of made me question whether or not the place was kind of cursed from the beginning of its existence.
Mm.
It was believed to have been a battleground for many Native American wars, and some locals have even claimed that they've heard war drums playing while in the canyon. There are numerous sightings of ghosts and evil spirits, as you could imagine from a war ground. And for the Gabrielenos people, it was evil land and was considered to be completely off limits. So they wouldn't set foot in the area.
But there's no background, right? Like, it just was determined it was bad.
Well, I think what it was, if I'm understanding correctly, it was already a site for many wars, and so they were like, no, that's
basically before our story starts. Okay,
exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it was unholy land for them, basically. Gotcha. I don't know if it was cursed from before that, because like I said, this is the earliest kind of like recorded thing that I could find.
Okay.
It's important to know, though, that the Gabrielenos Native Americans were named this by Spanish missionaries who arrived in this area and forced Native Americans there to convert to Catholicism. So I thought that was an interesting name. The missionaries named them Gabrielenos because of their proximity to the San Gabriel mission.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, sadly, at this time, anyone who would not convert would be killed. Mm-hmm. So, the Native Americans here were faced with the option of conversion or death. To make things even more disturbing, the missionaries used their fear of the canyon against them to further compel them to become Catholic. It's said that the Spanish did not pay any mind to the warnings of the Native Americans that lived there, that when they said that the land was not to be set foot on because it was evil.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they forced people who did not agree to convert to Christianity onto the land in the hopes that facing their fears would make them more inclined to convert. Obviously, that didn't work exactly how they were planning it. It was really messed up, and many of the Native Americans became hopeless when they were forced to walk into the land that they knew to be the land of the devil or the dark place. And it is said that they claimed at this point that they were now without hope and were doomed to remain there for as long as the sun rises and sets. So those who stood their ground and refused to convert to Catholicism were killed, and many of those killings are said to have taken place in Turnbull Canyon because they took them there first, hoping to change their mind, and then just killed them there.
With an execution.
Right, exactly. So because of that, many people believe that a lot of those Native Americans who were taken there are a large part of the hauntings that take place that still take place there today, and that because those souls believed that they would be trapped there, so they were
trapped there,
right?
That makes sense.
Many who visit Turnbull Canyon say that they feel the gaze of hundreds of eyes on them as they explore in the area. It is thought that every Native American who was killed on this land remains there waiting for the sun to go out.
That's
the first really terribly sad story that kicks it off.
Yeah.
It doesn't get a lot better from there.
Oh, no.
Way to bring it down.
Set us up for success.
Right. So, the Spanish governor of Alta, California, deeded most of the land that is now Whittier to two white settlers, John Rowland and William Workman, in 1845. They were from Taos, New Mexico, and they were said to have been successful owners of a fur trapping business there in New Mexico. The land that was given to them was 49,000 acres and included Turnbull Canyon. And in the time that William Workman lived in this land, he apparently didn't have a very good relationship with the Gabrielenos Native Americans. There were many reports of seeing ghosts and witches in the subterranean passages he built for his family. So I guess there were, at some point, apparently there were raids on his home. So he built like subterranean passages. He and his family reported having seen ghosts and witches. And then later, the Gabrielenos Native Americans worked for him, and they reported having seen ghosts and witches. I don't know where the witches came from at this point, because there wasn't really a solid story about witches before that, but it was what they said that they saw in those passages.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Native American, they do have shamans and people who practice witch, so that could be...
It might have been. That's just, it was described as witches, and there wasn't, like, a lot of context
for it.
So, apparently, Workman was involved in a plot to illegally usurp the governor who had given him the land in the first place. And he's believed to have taken all of that bad karma that he brought upon himself with him to the end of his life. He ended up losing most of his money and his 49,000 acres, except for he was just left with Turnbull Canyon. In 1876, he shot himself, so it is possible that he adds to the number of spirits that are believed to dwell there. So now we've got a bunch of tortured souls, and
there's so much light and happiness.
William Workman.
Thanks,
I know.
California's supposed to be sunny.
Yeah.
And
happy.
I'm telling you.
Back.
And if you're unaware, you're just going here to hike and you get to find all of this stuff.
No,
so
thanks.
Yay.
Thanks for warning me, sister.
Yeah, seriously. You're welcome. I feel fear that Amanda may have had this on her list to visit.
Tim's gonna be like, I saw this really great place to hike, and she's gonna be like, nope.
No, very affordable campground.
Yeah, exactly. In the 1870s, Robert Turnbull, so before this time it wasn't called Turnbull Canyon.
Oh, okay. It was just the canyon.
Yeah, well, it's just part of...
It was just this place.
The 49,000 acres
it was just
that...
this bad place where the light doesn't shine.
Exactly, just the dark place.
Dead spirits go visit. Devil's doorstep and King Caveman.
So often I thought about that, and you'll see even more where you're going to be like, seriously?
You know, they live in California.
I know, I thought that too.
I'll just message my friend Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle, could you please confirm if this has anything to do with your inspiration for the Devil's Doorstep? So Robert Turnbull was an immigrant from Scotland. He moved to the San Gabriel Valley and eventually bought the land in the canyon, which he raised sheep on. In 1888, Turnbull was arrested one evening for public drunkenness when he fell off of his horse while leaving the St. Charles Hotel, which was apparently one of his favorite places to visit.
It's pretty standard Scottish behavior, to be honest.
Yeah, falling off your horse.
Right.
He was released the next morning, and apparently when he arrived home, his housekeeper, whose name was Mary Kate... She gets a name unlike those from your Arkansas episode.
Where was her sister, Ashley?
Yeah, I thought that too. Oh, God. Stop saying my thoughts out loud. That's weird. Mary Kate noticed that he had bruises covering his face and body. She reported that it looked like he had been involved in a brutal fight. Apparently, he took a long nap and then got up the next day and left the house wearing mismatched clothing and Mary's hat.
What?
So, obviously, she found that strange.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's just regroup for a second. So, he has too much to drink.
Yeah.
Falls off his horse.
Right.
Pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
Comes home.
Yeah.
Looks like he's been in a fight. Could maybe have been from the fall. Maybe, right?
Possibly.
But then the next day, he decides that, hey, I'm just going to grab every piece of clothing that's on my floor and wear it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Much how my six-year-old dresses herself. Mm-hmm. And also, housekeeper, may I borrow your hat?
Yeah, I don't think he asked either. Just took off of it. So Mary reported that obviously he didn't seem like himself when he left. And right. The next day... I'm glad you enjoyed your laugh, because we're going dark again.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
The next day, two children found his body floating face down in the Los Angeles River.
Oh.
But where was the hat?
It didn't say.
The
although.
Hat was long gone.
I'm very concerned about the state of this hat.
That's a very good question. I don't think we'll ever know.
His
autopsy found that he had died from a blood clot, which developed from a head injury, so it was quite possible that he had been murdered.
Right.
The Quakers who lived in the area and had been wanting to buy his land for some time named the canyon in honor of him, which is how it became known as Turnbull Canyon.
Okay.
So yeah. That was 1888. Okay. Now we're going to jump right ahead to the 1930s.
I wish you had a picture of the hat.
Yeah, that's not likely to turn up.
I'm very sad about that.
You can do your best imagining. Just think kind of like Neville when he turns Snape into... When he dresses as his grandmother.
With the vulture on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Mary's hat looked like.
Absolutely. I hope
say
so.
There's a strong possibility.
It's probably the fashion in 1888.
Yeah, I love those dead vulture hats.
You're absurd. In the 1930s, during the time of the Great Depression, the canyon was believed to have been used for many dark and mysterious purposes. So during the Great Depression, I'm sure you've heard before that it wasn't all that uncommon for families to give up some of their children to orphanages because they couldn't feed or care for all of them.
Right.
So naturally, the orphanages became overcrowded. In the early part of the Great Depression, there was apparently a cult that would adopt small children from overcrowded orphanages and keep them in an old barn in Turnbull Canyon. According to legend, the cult would take the children to the top of the tallest hill and slaughter them as a sacrifice to Satan. Now we've gotten darker.
I don't like that.
No. No.
Satan's
no.
not a good guy.
Most people.
Amanda. Oh my gosh.
I'm never going to get through this research.
Really not. I'm going to just cut out the whole middle 3 minutes. Ugh. Just whatever it is going.
So there are rumors of numerous men and women wearing black cloaks and performing these satanic rituals every night at this time.
Ew.
That feels very American Horror Story to me.
Yeah, this was really... I don't
Ryan
wanna,
Murphy?
I don't want to say it was the most disturbing because I don't remember all the details, but this is the one that definitely was like, it probably was the most disturbing to me. I was like, ugh, don't like this.
So they're sacrificing...
Yeah, sacrificing children.
Right. When is this? 1890s, you said?
No, this is in the 1930s during the Great Depression.
Oh, God.
Right. Later, when adoption was not as readily available, the cult resorted to snatching runaway children and then eventually began kidnapping for their sacrifices. One
How
local
is snatching and kidnapping not the same
well
thing?
So they were just finding children who had ran away and were already on their own, and then they
actively stealing from
right
people.
Exactly.
Okay.
So keep in mind this is all kind of hearsay because it was the 30s. There's not a lot of good documentation, but that's what people, and since it was the 30s, like not all that long ago, there were still residents that would like kind of corroborate the rumors or whatever.
Right.
One local resident said that he He stumbled on and witnessed one of these rituals one night and saw what looked to be a 12-year-old boy strapped to a cross with hooded figures chanting a language that he did not recognize all around him. He said the intensity of the chanting increased until they eventually hoisted the cross into the air and turned it upside down, setting it back down and then brutally beating the child. When they finally stopped, the witness stated that he was glad to see that the boy was still alive, but he was horrified again as they took him down and stuffed him into a bag and carried him off somewhere, so he didn't see what happened past that. Right. Really terrible. Other witnesses reported seeing local officials, police officers, and members of the criminal justice system and other well-known or well-liked individuals among the cult group. So, like, people who stumbled upon this actually saw that it was, like... So this also reminded me of King Falls and the Hymenus. Exactly. Like,
not dark.
Exactly.
Now I really am going to message
you. See? I'm telling you. Locals tell stories of seeing the ghosts of these children as well as hooded figures roaming around the roads of the canyon to this day. Others report seeing the cloaked figures around bonfires at night.
Mm-mm.
And there are even stories of ghost children being seen hanging from trees. That legend has it sometimes if you stare too long, they will open their eyes and look at you with accusational expressions.
Oh, no.
The trees will open their eyes?
No, the children.
Where did I get the trees?
I don't, well, they were hanging from trees.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that was a picture, by the way. It was two girls side by side. Yeah, you probably don't want to look up pictures. I'll send you pictures for this one so you don't come across that one.
The, like, White Walkers at the very beginning of Game of Thrones, too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember, like, the very beginning?
Yep.
I don't remember.
Yes, I do remember that. It's just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, that's, I don't like that.
No, I don't like any of this.
No.
I don't like saying it out loud. It was bad enough when I was researching it. Now I have to say it out loud, and I'm like...
mildly nauseated, to be honest.
Yeah. I've had too much coffee, and this is a little disturbing, a lot disturbing.
Yeah. A little, yeah.
So some accounts link this cult activity to the KKK, and let's be honest, a lot of these details sound really familiar with what we know historically about KKK rituals, which, by the way, that is the thing that creeps me out the most, is anything having to do with the KKK. It just really disturbs me.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Another account of what took place in Turnbull Canyon in the 1930s tells of a mental institution. So this is around the same, within the same decade, a mental institution that used to stand in the canyon.
Oh, God, this is...
They had a mental institution in
inside
the canyon.
The canyon.
Yeah, well, so I don't, again, I don't know a lot about, like, what, how much of the land is known as Turnbull Canyon. If it was just kind of, like, in and around it, or if it was, like, in the bottom of this canyon, it was kind of hard to tell just from all the reading.
It's just like a massive canyon.
Right, exactly.
And there's like actually houses. I don't know.
No, I do. That is the impression that I get.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if there's a mental institution.
It's not just like the Grand Canyon and somebody just stuck an institution in the bottom of it. I mean, you know, it's isolated enough.
And they get good views. They say nature is good for mental health.
Okay. I don't think there's anything about this canyon that's good for mental health.
Well, there wasn't.
That's fair.
There wasn't much about this institution that was good for mental health either.
Oh, no.
It was supposed to be a place of healing, but turned out otherwise, as a lot of...
Yeah, the 30s and 40s were known for taking great care of mental patients.
Exactly. Yeah, there wasn't... The hospital is said to have used unethical practices with its patients.
Right.
Again, as we know that mental institutions have been known to do in history. A pretty well-known legend among locals, but apparently one particular woman who called herself Esther claims to have been a nurse on staff at this hospital, and according to her, most of the patients had they been diagnosed today would have been labeled with some sort of mental retardation or intellectual disability.
Mm-hmm.
According to the story, the institution used, just won't be surprising, but electroshock therapy, lobotomies, and other barbaric practices pretty commonly, which again was common at that time.
Right.
In the early 1940s, the hospital was destroyed by a fire. According to Esther, her and one doctor were the only survivors of the fire. Mm-hmm. There is no documentation of this institution, which is kind of makes you think, like, was it real? But then again, documentation wasn't very good at that time either. So
what if Esther's crazy and just made up the whole thing?
Esther could have been, but she's not the only one who tells the story.
Oh, okay.
She just claimed she might have made up having worked there. But
yeah,
it's, again, the 30s. So, like, up until recently, people would say, oh, yeah, I remember when that was there.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of like there's no... actual documentation, but there's a lot of stories, which
gotcha.
Is what urban legend is, let's
That's
be
right.
honest.
That's right.
Visitors to the site often report intense feelings of fear and sometimes even panic.
Mm-hmm.
Again, don't go there.
Yeah, Amanda, this is not for you.
Some who are, or anyone.
Or anyone.
Some who are more spiritually gifted have said that there is a feeling of someone reaching into your head and caressing your brain while you're standing in this location of the former asylum.
I'm sorry, what does that feel like? How do you identify
I
that
never
feeling?
Want to know.
I'm good with
I
just...
I don't want my brain caressed.
No. No. Not on the best of days.
I never want to know how that feels.
Don't like that.
So there's a set of gates in the canyon that's known as both the Devil's Gate and the Gates of Hell. I saw it referred to as both. They're rumored to either be guarding the former home of one of the cult members or the former location of the mental institution. So either way, the vibes there, not anything I'm trying to mess with. The gates are described, it's like old gates topped with rusty barbed wire and loose rusty chains. A beware of dog sign and a loose hanging warning sign can also be seen on them. And nobody's ever seen, like, I read some accounts of people who went there and was just like, yeah, it was really creepy. I never saw a dog. Don't know why the sign's there. It seems like it's abandoned.
Has no one gone through these gates?
No, people have. And that's what it's like. People are like, oh, you don't really find anything at this, you know, point or whatever. But
you think it's on Airbnb?
Not going to look.
Not going there.
So that was the 40s when it burned down. In 1952, an American Airlines plane flying from New York to California fell from the sky and crashed into the tallest hill of the canyon, killing everyone on board. Apparently, there was not supposed to, like, flight records, there was not supposed to be an American Airlines plane in this area at this time. So how it got
there,
off of its original flight plan, I don't know. No one on the flight, including the pilots, they weren't able to find identification of anyone. It was, I mean, obviously a pretty terrible crash. And there was a total of 29 victims on board. And several places that I read, like several different articles that I read, said that 21 of them were children.
What?
Which I'm like, what is it with this place and kids? So there are theories that the dark magic that remains in the canyon from the satanic rituals caused the crash. That's like what drew the plane down. And that the evil spirits that the cult had conjured years previously continued to roam around and still crave the blood of innocents.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. Whatever the cause, the victims of this plane can be added to the count of spirits likely roaming the area. So again, those, like,
they're in the hundreds.
Yeah. No, so much. It's just not, it's probably like, you know, like visiting places where you know that that much tragedy has occurred. Like,
yeah.
I know y'all said when you went to the Coliseum, it was just awful. Like terrible. I can imagine that this is kind of what it would be like to visit this place, especially if you're sensitive. In 1962, get this story. Legend has it that there were a group of teenagers that were partying and ventured to the charred remains of the mental institution that had burned down 20 years previously. One of the boys found the remains of an old electroshock machine, and, I mean, like, you see movies like horror movies, or, you know, like, you hear about stories of teenagers just being stupid and doing stuff like anybody else would in this situation. He couldn't resist picking it up. When he picked it up, he was fatally electrocuted, even though the electricity had been shut off 20 years earlier when the hospital burned down. So there's no electricity here. This electroshock machine electrocuted this boy to death.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
With no electricity.
It is said that it would take, like, people who kind of, like, commented on it said that it would take very strong and angry poltergeists to pull this off.
But have that much strength.
Well, and as these stories are going, there's plenty of angry spirits to choose from in this canyon.
Right.
So
that's true.
Legend has it that the boy's hair caught on fire, followed by his clothes, and then his skin smoldered, and literally it said his eyes cooked until they popped.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This young man is...
Legends.
I mean, you couldn't go with a creepy story. You had to go with, like, a stomach... Disturbing story.
Yeah. This young man is also believed to be haunting the canyon to this day.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Hey, you owe me a Coke.
This one's a little bit more lighthearted, so you can enjoy it.
Oh, my God.
In the 1990s, there was a story of a man named Jay who received a strange phone call from a resident of Turnbull Canyon. He thought it was strange since his family's number was unlisted. He had never met the man before, but the caller said he needed some work done. So I, what I gather is that Jay and his father did, like, odd jobs and stuff like that for people.
See, sure, it wasn't one of those Social Security scams.
But, but I guess they only did this for people that they knew and, like, contacted in person because their phone number wasn't listed, like, as a business or anything.
Yeah.
So Jay and his father went to meet him, hoping for potential employment. When they arrived at the man's house, Jay shared that the caller turned out to be an elderly man, probably in his 80s. This man showed them around his property, and along the way, there were several small shacks that the man referred to as his safe houses.
Oh.
Each one had the same furniture and a painting of a young boy and an older man.
The same painting in each house?
Yeah. There's a little, it seemed like a small, I want to say it said like there was a couch and a twin bed and this painting in each one, like it was just
so
the same
weird.
Thing over and over, right?
Yeah.
So Jay said that despite his age, the man moved very quickly around the property to the point where he and his dad were winded trying to keep up with him. So I'm just imagining this 80-year-old man just like sprinting around this canyon.
Scurrying around like wall crabs.
Yeah, exactly. The man kept asking Jay and his father to, like, stop and kneel and pray with him, which they did because they were trying to find work and just were like, okay, yeah. Okay, guy.
Eccentric, but fine. Right.
So Jay thought that the young man in all of the matching pictures in the shacks looked like a younger version of the man who had called him, like the guy that they were following around, and decided that it must have been him as a child. So years later, in an interview, Jay was shown the same picture, which he identified as the picture that was in all of the safe houses. The interviewer then informed Jay that it was a childhood photograph of William Workman, who had committed suicide in the canyon in 1876. So the guy, remember the guy that that was back in,
oh, wow.
In pretty much the beginning of the story here. So Jay apparently refused to speak to the interview after hearing this. He's like, all right, I'm done here.
I think we've completed this.
So a little bit more lighthearted. I thought it was kind of funny, but you're like, after all this, that seemed lighthearted.
Yeah, fair enough. And like a little bizarre, right? Like you're a restless spirit, but you're like, hey, so for a quick vanity project, I've put pictures of myself in all these shacks and I'd like you to maybe just update the light fixtures.
I thought it was weird because like the safe houses, I guess, were kind of like his, it did say that he had like created all these underground tunnels and was like trying to keep his family safe. So,
but he put a picture of himself in each one.
As a child with an older man, and that was never explained who that was. I don't know.
I feel like it's time to redecorate. All Erin all the time.
Yeah. Erin will have pictures of herself there.
Yep.
In 2002, this is sad.
Oh, great.
More sad.
You were doing well for a minute there.
I'm almost done. there's not a lot more happy. That was it. Oh, that's the best you get.
California loses.
The ghosty of William Workman is the cheeriest you'll get in the story.
I don't like this.
Sprightly little 80-year-old man. Yeah.
I like that visual, though.
And...
I just imagine him going, and we're walking.
Right? And we're walking.
In 2002, a 17-year-old young woman named Gloria Gaxiola was brutally murdered on Turnbull Canyon Road. She was strangled and shot, and then she was dragged behind a car for somewhere between 4 and 5 miles on Turnbull Canyon Road. And every article that I looked at said that she had been dragged behind the car. One of them said that it was because she was shoved from the car after they shot her and her foot got caught in the seatbelt.
Oh,
so it was just
not good.
Terrible either way. Her killers were eventually found and charged in 2008 and convicted of her murder in 2009. Sadly, this is a true story. So it's less urban legend and more just like extra.
Just sad.
Proof that, yeah, but I mean, it kind of gives people like more proof that it's just a cursed, terrible, evil area. Place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, there were other deaths that happened. I remember there was one, they just didn't have a lot of detail, one like a motorcycle cop that was killed by a car that was like drifting, because apparently the same road is like known for racing.
Drag racing with cars.
So there have been like several deaths that again aren't really tied to like a legend, more that just kind of like just stay away from there. Somewhere in the canyon there is also a tree that is referred to as the Hanging Tree.
Lovely,
isn't it? Nice. It is called this because of the man who was found hanging from one of its limbs. Witnesses say that you can still see this man hanging if you are near the tree at the time of the day when he died. There is another story about this tree that tells of a young teenage couple who were driving through the canyon and had car trouble. The guy apparently told his girlfriend to stay in the car and he would go and get help.
No, you go together.
According to the story, the girl heard what sounded like light rain dripping on the roof of the car.
Nope. Mm-mm. And don't like this.
Eventually fell asleep after several hours of waiting on her boyfriend to return.
Oh boy.
She woke up the next day to a police officer tapping on her window and asking her to step out of the car but not to look up.
Oh no.
Oh.
When she stepped out of the car, she obviously looked up and saw that her boyfriend was hanging from the tree above the car and his blood had been dripping on the roof. It wasn't clear when I was reading all this stuff if those stories were like two different explanations for the hanging tree, like for why there's like randomly a ghost hanging from this tree, or if it was like one happened and then the other, like the tree was already cursed, and I don't know. I couldn't really make the connection between the two.
That blood dripping alone, even without everything else you've just said, sounds like an urban legend you would have told at a slumber party.
Yeah.
You were like in like, you know, the fourth grade or whatever.
I mean, it's all so like sometimes urban legend is as like fun as like, oh, a shapeshifter or whatever, that's not really all that harmful, or sometimes it's just really terrible, just
tragic, awful,
tragic stuff.
There's a reason this place is haunted.
That's Turnbull Canyon. You have everything from tragic stories, ghosts, angry children, evil spirits, cult activities, and just tragic accidents and gruesome murders. There's kind of a lot going on there.
A lot.
And I would never like to visit.
No, I think I'll pass on that.
It's not, like, in my top five.
No.
No. Mm-mm.
No, girl, but you're not going to plan a girl's trip to Turnbull Canyon?
I do find it fitting that you got this episode.
Always with the angry spirits.
Yeah. I would prefer for the rest of the evil spirits that I read about to not be tied to cult activity that claims children, though.
There is, not to go completely off topic, but there is something unsettlingly creepy about cults.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, like, so I like creepy stuff. Like, I love ghost stories and things like that, and that doesn't, like, disturb me, but cults do disturb me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's one thing to have, like, a ghost story, like,
creepy children supernatural. At the dead playground. Yeah.
And then it's another thing to have, like, true human horrific action.
Yeah, where you know that this really happened and not just, like, hey, we saw these spirits and we think it might be from this, but we're not totally sure. But this is like, you know.
But the thing of it is, because of the time that it happened, there's not a lot of, like, actual documentation. Mm-hmm. But this is the stories that, like, locals tell, which is what makes it mostly urban legend. You just don't know if it's true or not, but it's very detailed and gruesome.
Yeah, there was a lot here.
There was a lot.
That's kind of a lot to unpack.
Yeah, and again, I feel...
A lot to unpack indeed.
I feel more disturbed having said it all out loud, so thank you for this opportunity.
I can't imagine you doing this recently. Like, I would be sitting here like, nope.
Yeah. Don't like this.
Nope, yeah. Don't like that.
I was too far in when I got, like, I had already done too much when I got to the, that part. And I was like, I mean, it was all sad and it was sad from the beginning. But I was like, well, what, you know.
Way to go, California.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
All sunny and happy.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder, a Redwater production. We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories. We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at SaltOverYourShoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.
See you next time.